Thunder Bay Economic Development Commission is holding an open house on the future of immigration and economic development in the city. Now, David Campbell, keynote speaker, president of Jupia Consultants, and former chief economist with the government of New Brunswick. Part of his talk is about the future of the community, as well as how businesses can fill the job openings that many employers are having difficulty filling. Also, Stacey Parks, the Northwestern Ontario Local Immigration Partnership Coordinator. They're both here. Good morning to you both. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning, Lisa.
Okay, so David, tell me a little bit about what you're bringing from New Brunswick to this meeting.
So believe it or not, New Brunswick's actually a couple of years ahead of Thunder Bay in terms of its efforts to attract immigrants. So where we started with something called the Atlantic Immigration Pilot Project, which then became the Rural and Northern Ontario Immigration Pilot. So I'm going to bring some of the learning and some of the experience from that project in New Brunswick and bring it here and try to help folks around here understand what we did right and maybe some of the challenges there as well. But also broadly looking at sort of economic trends here in Thunder Bay and trying to think about how the tightening of the labor market is really impacting the economy now and will impact it even more so in the future.
And Stacey, it's been well documented that like we need a lot of new people coming here because we're an aging population and we need immigrants.
We certainly do. We need not just immigrants, we need people in general. So today is specifically focusing around how immigration can be a tool for economic development and, like you said, to boost those numbers so that we have the tax base and so on and so forth, because it becomes a vicious cycle, as you know, Lisa, right? So, you know, folks don't want to go where there isn't any services. There's not services sometimes because there's not enough tax dollars, so our investment in the economy to make sure that those services. So, you know, you look at 20, 30 years down the road, we need to start laying the groundwork now. So immigration is one component of that. Using immigration as a tool for economic development moving forward is one component. So that's what we're focusing around today.
Okay. So, David, tell me what you did in New Brunswick. What kinds of things were there that we can learn from?
Well, again, we had a very similar situation, lots of companies struggling to find workers, lots of restraint on growth. So the Atlantic Immigration Pilot Project basically was very unique because it allowed us to bring in immigrants based on the demands of the workforce. Now, you might say, well, that just makes common sense. Well, before the pilot project, getting into Canada was tied to skills levels and actually a points system.
I remember that,
right?
Yeah.
So the more, if you had a PhD, if you had spoke three languages, you know, these were you're much more likely to get into Canada, but then you might drive a taxi or you might not be able to find a job in your field. So what we said is, well, why don't we actually bring in people that we need? If we need truck drivers, if we need janitors, if we need manufacturing workers, why don't we actually... So do a really good search. Make sure the companies are exhausting the local labor market, but if they can't find local workers, then look to international markets to do that. And that's exactly what we did, and it's been, as I say, it's been quite successful. We... In Moncton specifically, last year about 1,400 immigrants or permanent residents settled in the community. It's only slightly larger than Thunder Bay, plus a big increase in international students. So I think it's been quite a success.
Now, Stacey, what about here in Thunder Bay? Where do we need people?
Yeah, well, that's a really good part to focus on. First of all, there's the number. So very similarly to what David said, our projections, the Northern Policy Institute has projected that by 2030, we're going to need about 1,300, 1,400 people coming in each year to sustain. They've also done a lot of work, done a exhausted look at the labor market, the gaps. What they've done for the purpose of today and the purpose of the launch of the Rural and Northern Immigration Pilot here in Thunder Bay, there's various levels of jobs that we require, anything from psychiatric nurses to truck drivers, bakers. So there's a full complete list, actually. If you visit the gotothunderbay.ca website and click on the Rural and Northern Immigration Pilot, you can look. It says information for employers, and it breaks down the specific jobs that are going to be qualified through the RNIP program for the first year.
So today, what kinds of things do you want to hear from people? Do you want to share with people?
Well, we're really looking forward to having a large number of economic development folks from around the region and also employers from around the region to come and learn about how they can utilize the RNIP and immigration in general as a tool to fill their labor market needs. So we want to hear from them. We want to know what the challenges are that they're having and how we can use this as a tool to help them. alleviate those pressures.
Okay, David, you talked about doing things right, and what were some of the key things you did right?
Well, again, this alignment of labor market demand and the people coming in is incredibly important, and it's self-reinforcing, because the federal government doesn't want to give you more immigrants unless you can show that you can retain them. So they're very focused on retention, but how can you retain them if they don't have a job? So this idea of, so under the provincial nominee program in New Brunswick just 5 years ago, 80% of the people approved under provincial nominee did not have a job. And now it's completely flipped. So 80% of people approved under that program have a job before they actually arrive. So this is, I know it sounds strange to the listeners that they would come without jobs, but a lot of immigrants are just trying to get into Canada.
Yes.
And so they apply, they get approved, they come here, and then they look for work. And in fact, that's very challenging in smaller urban areas like Moncton or St. John or Thunder Bay. So we need to be more deliberate about aligning those things. But then they bring spouses and children, and they have trouble finding work. So it's not a panacea, but it's a good step forward. So I would say the alignment is very, very important. And then retention and just working on all the things that the LIP is thinking about in terms of integrating them into the community and places of faith and social groups and networks. Those are all
housing and all those things.
All of those things. So what's really great about the RNIP, and we're going to be talking about this more at the town hall today too, is exactly like you said, David, those support pieces. So with the RNIP, it is mandatory. The first step is that the primary applicant has to have a job offer. That is step number one. In addition to that, the government thankfully has made some allowances, whereas typically people can't receive services from Thunder Bay Multicultural Association unless they have their permanent residency in hand already. The government has waived that and is allowing people to, while their PR is processing, they can be in the community, they can be integrated, they can make use of the great support services that TBMA offers, mm-hmm. whether that be youth programs or language programs for the spouse if they don't quite have the language facility that they require to be integrated into the community. So we're really grateful about those allowances as well. So let's just get started.
So what's holding it?
Yeah, so where we're at right now is it's the Community Economic Development Commission that's housing the RNIP, and they've been back and forth with the federal government. Like I said, the federal government chose Thunder Bay as one of the 11 RNIP communities back in June. But then, you know, there's memorandum of understanding that has to take place. So my understanding is that there's just some language that had to be changed just in the past couple of weeks, and we're just waiting for the IRCC to give us the green light.
Mm-hmm. David, what else are you going to be telling people today? That, yes, have the job before you get here, but what are some of the other key things people can do?
So I want the community to be aspirational. So one of the challenges we have now is we're thinking about just filling the gaps. So if we need 200 workers in Sector A or Sector B, but that's not growth. That's just filling existing demand.
Mm.
So I want the community to think about growth. What are those growth sectors? What are those growth opportunities? And how can immigration support that? For example, 40% of your entrepreneurs are over the age of 55. So they're all heading out into retirement in the next 10 or 15 years, 40% of your business owners. What's the succession planning for them? Right? So what's that next generation of entrepreneurs and business leaders that are going to come through, make investments, take risks? So I'm going to try to sort of, excite the crowd a bit and try to get people excited about in a positive way, about economic development and about the future. So not just filling in the gaps, but actually looking at how we can grow our community by attracting in new population, new ideas, new entrepreneurs, new talent, and a very vibrant future for Thunder Bay.
You know, it's funny, Stacey, listening to him there. We haven't talked about growth for such a long time. We've been focusing on maintenance and trying to attract, but actually growing
would
be really something. Eh?
Absolutely. And, you know, there's tons of reasons for it. I mean, who knows what's going to happen with some of the major projects in and around, not just in Thunder Bay, but around our area. For example, the nuclear power plant storage facility, if that comes to Ignace, that's going to mean big things, and we have to plan for that. What new programs, what new exciting educational opportunities is there going to be at Lakehead and Confederation College if that plant does come here? So, you know, there's a lot of foresight and a lot of projection we need to really be thinking about, and how that ripple effect will impact everything about our community.
So where is this happening today, and is there room for anybody else if somebody's listening?
Well, I think I've got two spots left. So thank you very much to the media and to our friends, because the registration's been a great success. So that's for today. It's happening at the Italian Cultural Center, but like I said, unfortunately, we've only got a couple of spots left. But what I do want to just put a plug in for is our Come North Conference. We're hosting a conference here in Thunder Bay, February 18th, 19th, and 20th at the Delta Waterfront Hotel. That registration is still open. And who should come? Anybody. Anybody that has any kind of a concern about the future of our region, whether you're an employer, you're a service provider, maybe you're somebody from a faith-based group, and you want to have some a voice in the planning for our future and trying to get people to come north. So it's comenorth.ca. Registration is free but mandatory, and we're going to have great food and great discussion.
There you go. Thank you very much, both of you, for coming in today. Speaking with David Campbell, former chief economist with the government of New Brunswick, a consultant with Tupia Consultants. Stacey Parks is the Northwestern Ontario Local Immigration Partnership Coordinator.